Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of TX18 Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey Fans. As Russ and I, you know, and I being Michael, you know, Michael is Michael. Continue our journey through the Mighty Ducks universe with Game Changers as we talk about episode 3. We may, depending on time, may discuss certain things going on in the NHL. Because some things are hopping, especially with the trade deadline being on Monday. But first, Mighty Ducks. So Alex is trying to be a coach, like a more serious coach. And you got to give her credit. She actually tries to put some really nice, you know, she actually tries to do actual drills, like learning the skate with the puck and, you know, shooting the puck. Kub still needs a lot of work in goal.
Oh my God, does he ever.
Just throwing that out there. but one of the nice things, you can kind of see, you know, we saw it in the last episode. We started seeing this little bit of a transition for Gordon. And he actually kind of sneaks Alex's little notebook away and he draws up a play.
Which is the
we'll get to it. You know, that we don't get to see the play until, like, we don't even know what the play is until, like, way at the end of the episode. But it's actually a really nice thing that they do. When Alex is at work, she's actually looking up Gordon Bombay. She's trying to learn more about Gordon, which is smart. You should be learning about the guy. And she learns that apparently he was at, like, St. Paul. I guess yeah, as a coach.
It looked like he was a coach of the Golden Gophers almost.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And, you know, obviously something happened and, you know, he resigned. And, yeah, so it's like you got some questions and stuff like that. And then another big thing throughout the episode is actually Evan trying to recruit Sophie to join the team, saying, like, you know, you know, and one of the things they do is they go out for pizza, and I guess the kid's name was Travis or something, like Travis or Trevor, whatever the kid's name was, and he just kind of hopped in, interrupted, and was, like, really disrespectful and stuff like that, and Sophie was like, well, that was kind of odd, and Evan's like, no, it's not, that's the Duck way, you know, being kind of a punk, and yep. And then, you know, I'm kind of glossing over things on purpose because we're just going to talk about everything randomly anyways. and then you actually have a scene with Alex and Gordon. We're talking about the pivotal stuff. Alex and Gordon, where they're talking about the hockey. And Gordon's like, I don't hate hockey. I actually love hockey. And he talks about what happened at St. Paul, where essentially they fired him. But for PR reasons, they had him resign from the position of head coach, and it was like, and he just kind of talked about how it just kind of it hurt, you know, and it just wasn't how it was supposed to be. So but then now we go into the game where we see the Ducks out of practice. Sophie's mad at Evan because she got a B on a paper. It was like, it's a B.
And he was like, yeah, that's good. What's the problem?
Yeah, exactly. You got a B, you pass. You know? And then, like, she was getting, like, the, like, she was, like, freaking out because, like, her parents were under the Riot Act and all this other stuff. And she said that she was going to vow vengeance against Evan in the Don't Bothers when they play the Ducks, which is the very next game. And I think she scored, like, all 17 goals.
She scored a lot of them. I don't know if she scored all of them, but she scored a lot of them.
Like, she was pissed. And she lit the lamp. But then there was something that she noticed. And that was, like, at the end of the game, you know, Alex calls the timeout. And she notices in the book she has this play. So she gets the team together and says, all right, this is the play we're going to do. And it's such a smart play because, like, Logan, like, the puck goes to the net, you know, Logan goes down to make it look like he's covering the puck and he's actually laughing because it's like all the sticks hitting him is tickling him. I thought that was kind of adorable. In real life, that hurts like hell. I would know. Russ would know. We've both been jabbed with hockey sticks.
When the puck's under you, you don't want everyone hacking at your body. I've been there. It fucking hurts.
Like, watch the language. We're not on Twitch. We're used to being on Twitch if we're cursing on Twitch because we have more freedom on there. But hey, I got an F-bomb like a few episodes ago. This will be your one F-bomb. But what was it? But like in the chaos, Coob covers the puck and he just gets up and he's just holding the puck just casually. And he just kind of drops it off to the side for Evan. And Evan just goes down the ice casually. I like how he just casually skates down the ice. And then he does a really nice spin move. Like, I can't do it. So props to Brady Nude, who plays Evan. Does a nice spin move, and he scores the goal.
I guess it's easier with a roller puck because there's grooves in it, so you can kind of just dig your stick in and do that. But I used to do that all the time.
Yeah. It's harder in ice. Yeah, I would say that. But Evan does it. He actually gets the goal out of position, scores the goal. Alex is happy. She's going, nothing but net, nothing but net. And Nick is like, I think that's basketball. But but he scores. But then Evan gets clobbered after the final buzzer's over. Like, Sophie was like, hey, that was a nice goal. And, like, Evan's like, thank you. That's real nice of you. And then he just, boom, clobbered. And the referee is like, 5-minute major on sportsmanlike conduct. And, like, the one kid is like, but the game's already over. And the ref's like, well, then remind me next time.
Ridiculous.
That's a dick move, ref. But then this, and here's the thing. They spoiled this on March 28th. And I actually sent you the tweet, Russell. I sent you the tweet where they're showing off the lineup of the Don't Bothers.
And Sophie's in the...
And Sophie is one of them.
Them. Yeah,
and it's like... So it's like they already... Like, we already... Like, we technically knew, by the way the story was playing out, that eventually Sophie was going to end up with the Ducks. But they outright spoiled it with that tweet, with that video. And they... Well, this was the game. Well, they won 17-1. But Coach T... who has amazing flow. I'm very jealous. He is lambasting the team for giving up a goal. You know, for giving up a goal. And then, like, you can hear in the background, the Don't Bothers are actually celebrating the fact that they scored a goal. Like, they're just happy they scored
their first goal ever.
They scored their first goal ever. They're happy, you know? And, you know, and Coach T is just so disgusted. And Sophie was like, but we won. And it was like, and it finally dawned on her. Now I see what Evan's been talking about. And that she wants to, and she kind of goes up to them afterwards while they're still on the ice and the Ducks have left. It says, yeah, I want to join the Don't Bothers. I don't want to be a Duck anymore. And then which we see one more scene later where they're on the phone, Evan and Sophie, and Sophie lets it be known to Evan that her parents both have to say yes for her to play for,
which is definitely going to be a struggle because both her parents are uppity. I'm not going to share any more choice words about them, but
yeah, they have the proverbial stick up the butt.
Yeah,
but
I'm also going to get into my least favorite character on the show this episode too. I have one character that I really do not like.
Yeah, but and somebody gave the episode a 1-star.
What? Why?
Why are they trying to recruit a player who is on another team? That's rude.
That's rude.
Oh God. Oh God.
Oh boy.
Oh God.
I mean, if you don't understand that, you don't understand basically the whole concept of the Mighty Ducks.
You know what? I hate people. I'm just going to read this person's review real quick, then we'll talk about other stuff on the episode real quick. This person reviewed, I'm not even going to say this person's name, they don't deserve it. The Don't Bother seem more like the villains or at least annoying pests. Even now, the new Mighty Ducks are bullies with a coach that gets upset after a blowout win. Why? Just why? Am I watching the same episode everyone else is raving about? I guess they meant to say raving about.
Yeah,
the originals were adorable, had morals, had realism, and they had heart. The Don't Bothers and the new Mighty Ducks are rude, insecure, and depressing. The segment is about recruiting a Captain Marvel to join the team of unremarkable people to play a game that they were awful at. How does this make the team better hockey players? Now she has to carry the team to carry them to a title. Overall, is an overall episode full of insecurities, negativity, egocentric behavior, and forced antics that look very unnatural with poor acting. I would not allow any child to watch this film. It may have rubbed onto them if it hasn't already. What can be learned? How to turn children into criminals? Verdict still no mighty in this one. 0 out of 8 people found this review helpful.
I mean, there's so much wrong with what that guy said. I mean, number one, it's probably not a realistic depiction of hockey that this franchise has, but that's okay. It's not meant to be the super hyper realistic thing. This is the thing about kids learning how to play hockey and overcoming challenges in an underdog story every time. Like,
yeah.
At the end of the day, it sounds like this is a guy who is brand new to this kind of genre of sports film.
Well, he said that he enjoyed the originals. But the originals were
just like this. This is just an elongated version of the originals.
I know, but you know, with the quote Gordon Bombay, $2 hot cocoa costs 2 cents to make. It's what keeps the lights on in this place. That was an actual line from the episode. But you're just like, whatever, Mike. But it should be noted that the next episode, if my computer wants to cooperate with me, is called something because it doesn't want to load for me. Let's see here. Is it going to give me the episode? Hey, there we go. The next episode is called Hockey Moms. So knowing that now Sophie wants to join the Ducks, she isn't happy with, or she wants to join the Don't Bothers because she's not happy with the Ducks because of the mentality. And she's actually been shown, you know, and this is the part that this reviewer does not understand. She's being shown the reality of the situation around her and the absurdity of it. And now we're going to see it really take place in the next episode, which is titled Hockey Moms, because obviously now you're really going to see the moms get into this. Or at least that's what I think.
Yeah. Well, if you go through all of the credits on episode 3, they give you a special preview of episode 4, which was pretty cool.
I don't watch the previews. I like to actually just go in raw.
Yeah. So this episode, even more for me than the other ones, has really established how this is going to go. And I think because of what happened in this episode, that what you said last week or 2 weeks ago when we spoke last is going to happen, that they're not going to win at the end of the season. And more what makes me keep thinking about this is how this whole show has been preaching, go out there and have fun. not everything's about winning. You know, even though winning is fun, that is not what we model ourselves after the entire time. The more this theme keeps coming up, the more I think that it's going to end where the Ducks, not, I don't know if kick their ass, but like, I think the Ducks are going to win in this finale, and everything seems to be building to that. Now, the second thing, I was kind of trying to find the person who I really liked, and I always try to find in shows who I like and one character where I'm like, oh, I don't really, like, I hope the worst thing happens to you. My favorite character is quickly becoming Nick. I think he's hilarious. I think he's written extremely well. And I like what's happening with his like little podcast, how his friend is doing it with her dad, and the dad is like the driest guy in the entire world. So that's great. And every line that Nick says is, he's funny. He makes me laugh. For character I don't like, I don't know which person's mom she is, but like that top executive woman that works at Alex's office, where she's always eating the salad, that lady does nothing for me.
Oh, you're talking about, what's her name? You're talking about Sophie's mom.
Is that Sophie's mom? I thought Sophie's mom was someone different. They look different to me.
No. Watching. So, Stephanie is Sophie's mom, from my understanding.
Okay.
So.
I just think she's really annoying.
That's fair.
And I knew kids like that when I was in school, like that their parents would, like, if they got a B, it was literally like the end of the world. And like, honestly, that's no way to treat your kid. Like, obviously you want your kids to do well in school. You want them to, you know, you don't want them to be bad in school. But if your kid gets a B once in a while, like,
don't kick the crap out of them for it.
Yeah, like it's crazy. And I've seen, like, I knew kids like that in school, and I always felt bad for them. Like, you know, I was consistently like an 89 to a 90 average kid in like middle school and high school. Like, I was fine with that. But there were these kids, if they didn't get 99s or 100s on everything, it was like the world came crashing down. I could never be like that. So I kind of see what Sophie's going through. And it's kind of cool that she will obviously end up joining the Don't Bothers. And the last thing I'll say before I throw it back to Mike here is, whoever is designing the jerseys for this show needs to get a job designing jerseys for more hockey teams, because the Don't Bothers have great jerseys, the Ducks have great jerseys, the Cardinals have really cool jerseys so far.
I think the Cardinals still have the same jerseys from the first movie, to be perfectly honest.
I thought so too. Like, it's whoever's doing the design.
The only one that worries me is when we finally see, like, I know we saw the Hawks in that one, but if we see a game between the Hawks and the Don't Bothers, that's going to be the one that scares me.
Yeah.
Because the Hawks are wearing orange.
Orange.
Which makes no sense at all. But yeah, no, I one of the things I'd really like to see moving forward, and it's kind of a bummer, I actually read a thing. Apparently, Sean Weiss, the guy who played Goldberg, he's actually been sober for a little over a year now, which, congratulations, Sean. We hope you keep it. He's openly admitted that he's heartbroken that he's not been invited to come back for like the Mighty Ducks Game Changers or anything like that, but that he also understands why.
Yeah,
been doing drugs and getting arrested. You need to get your life back together. You need to prove that you're trustworthy to be brought back.
And I'm sure if the show keeps going, and if he stays sober, he will be brought back.
Yeah. Well, my thing is that this would have been great to bring Goldberg in for Coob, because Coob needs a Goldberg. Like, Coob is the Goldberg of this series, but Coob needs the Goldberg mentorship. Do Coob we see Gordon Bombay tie him to a goal and give him a bar mitzvah? Maybe. But I don't know. You were going to say something?
I said, I love how Coob thinks that you tap X in real life to make a kick save.
It was only that easy.
Yep. As me and Mike know, we are the goaltenders for our Apostles of Rufus Club, and my GAA is probably like a 25 at this
point. Oh, I could actually pull it up real quick. I actually have this. So some one of the guys in the VHSHL who we physically play with, or we will eventually when we get there, they actually sent me a link to to look at our actual club and how we're doing. So like it shows that the Apostle Rufus is 65 wins, 61 losses, 7 overtime losses. So we're over 500. Yay. We're current division 3, points to next division. We got 8 points. We're at relegation. And then when I go to view all members, work with me here. Come on, work with me here. So you ready for this?
Go for it.
All right. Big Willie Nip, a.k.a. Nick.
Nick.
Games played, 154 goals, 147 assists, 234. All right, we're going to go to goalie games played, 3. Goals against, 29. GAA, 13.49. He has made 28 saves for a .491 save percentage.
Oh, boy.
I'm assuming Garney changed his thing from Thorlaw to Blitz Bandits.
Blitz something?
Yeah, Blitz Bandits.
That's Garney now, yeah.
All right, so games played, 136 goals, 230 assists, 9. Oh, God, he doesn't even have 100 assists, man. He has 97 assists. That guy only cares about scoring the goals. Goalie games played is 6. He's given up 70 goals for an 11.67 goals against average with 86 saves for a .551 save percentage.
All right, getting up there. Better than Nick.
Okay, here's you.
Oh, yeah.
In 67 games played, you have 57 goals and 87 assists. Very well balanced. Very well balanced. In 11 goalie games played, you have 104 goals against, a 9.37 goals against average, which is better.
It's pretty terrible.
You have 148 saves for a .587 save percentage.
So I'm saving about 60% of my pucks. All right.
You're saving about 50. You're saving about 59%. All right, for me, I in 113 games played, I have 69 goals, 119 assists.
All right.
So I'm actually a lot better balanced than Nick wants to give me credit for. I have the worst plus minus on the team of a minus 231. I don't know how the hell that works, but okay. Goalie games played, I played 6. I have 32 goals against for a 5.84 save percentage, 70 saves, and a .686% save percentage.
All right.
And for whatever reason, I thought you had a shutout, but according to EA Sports, NHL 21, I am the only one with a shutout.
No, I do not. Yeah, I do not have a shutout.
Yeah, I have one shutout to my name. So I wish it would tell us what our win-loss record as a goalie is.
Yeah, that would be cool. I would kind of like to know that, but I know I'd probably have like one or two wins.
I know you have a couple wins. I know I have a goal. I know Garney has at least one win. Like I know I have at least 2 to 3 wins for us, because that's why I say we should do it in drop-in and not on the club, because that way we can practice better against human players. But yeah. But as people could tell, there's a reason why Russell and I are the goalies. When Russ has a .587 save percentage and I have a .686 percentage save percentage, there's a reason why. And plus, both our goals against averages are both under 10.
All right. I mean, you know, you got to take the wins where you could get them.
Yeah. So, we can break it down by goalie. Oh, we don't actually have goalies on our team.
No, we do not. We just kind of play goalie sometimes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of cool that it shows us this. Oh, by the way, we need to win our next 2 games in order to advance the division 2, by the way.
I know. We got a tall task.
And we only have 2 games left.
Yep.
As we're talking about, if you want to see us do this, like, obviously this episode's dropping, like, actually, no, this episode is dropping while we are live on stream. Because we're doing because this episode dropped at 1 o'clock. We've been streaming since 12 o'clock, you know? So we've been kind of doing the thing. Ain't that right?
Yeah. So. We're doing all right out here. By the way, for everyone, the Apostles of Rufus were the fifth-ranked club in the entire world at one point yesterday. And me and Nick and Garney were 14th, 15th, and 16th in player rankings.
So I'm proud of you guys. Like, and here's the thing. Like, that I'm proud of. The nonsense that took place in our group chat. not happy about that.
Well,
here's the reason. And the reason I don't mute the group chats is because what happens is something needs to be brought up right away.
And I mean, that's a good point, but
so, like, that's why I don't mute it. But like, God damn, you guys suck.
Mike is referring to the fact that Nick, me, and Garney made our nicknames of people he doesn't necessarily like.
Probably people on our who are listening to our podcast and probably watching the stream don't like either.
But you know what? Sometimes if you're superstitious, and a lot of hockey players are, you stick with
No. And I get it. And that's why I'm going to allow it on the stream, because you guys are still hot. Because you guys won a couple more threes.
We won another one today.
Friday, for the record. So Thursday they won five straight. Today they won.
We won another one today. No, we won four straight yesterday, and we added another one.
Okay, so they've won five total in 2 days. I have actually not been part of any of it, just simply because yesterday I was working on other things that needed to take priority. And then Friday, today, obviously I had work early in the morning, and then I had to watch the episodes for both Nerdy Notions and this, so I can be ready to record these podcasts. So Thursday and Friday, I didn't participate. However, I will be participating on Saturday, because obviously it's the stream. I have to participate. So I'm going to pitch that to the guys when we get out of the recording, because it's really Friday the 9th. I'm so sorry. We're also doing the stream early because it's WrestleMania weekend. So
is the Universal title match Sunday or Saturday?
Universal, I believe, is Sunday. WWE is Saturday. Because all I think right. What's okay, real quick, we're going to talk a little wrestling.
We're hitting all the topics here. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Drew McIntyre has made it known, especially the fact that WrestleMania is going to have an audience, like an in-person crowd. Drew McIntyre has made it known that he wants to be the first wrestler to walk out in front of a live audience.
So the WWE title match will be first.
So the WWE title match will most likely be first, which means Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks for the SmackDown Women's title will be the main event match.
I mean, good decision. Good decision. Wait, who has the WWE title right now? Bobby
Lashley. Bobby Lashley. Yeah.
Bobby Lashley. Okay. Cool.
And then what's probably going to happen is Sunday night they're going to close it. They're going to close the night with
triple threat match.
Edge, Roman Reigns, and Daniel Bryan for the Universal title.
Which Edge will pin Daniel Bryan? It's not a prediction. It's a spoiler, as Paul Heyman would love to say.
Except he wouldn't say that Edge would win the match. He would say Roman Reigns would win the match. But yeah. You know.
He's not going to. And further proof of that is because Daniel Bryan was added to that match. Look, if Daniel Bryan won, that would be the craziest turn I'd ever expect, but he's not going to.
To be honest, if Daniel Bryan wins, it would actually bring more credibility to Edge's heel turn.
It absolutely would, but I don't know if they will. I mean, Daniel Bryan seems like he's leaning towards retirement soon, so I would give him one last, like, run with the title and then have Edge kick, like, whip his ass.
Actually why it would work, because Daniel Bryan gets the one last run.
Yeah.
Edge goes further into the heel persona of the Rated R Superstar, and then it culminates maybe, say, at SummerSlam of Edge versus Daniel Bryan for the title, and that's when Edge starts his reign.
Yeah, and that's when it'll be a retirement versus title match, and Edge will win the title, and Daniel Bryan goes off into the sunset.
No, wouldn't it be? No, it would be Daniel Bryan's title versus Edge's career.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
And if you want to keep it as like a year-long program, then what you could do is that you can take and you go, you know what? At SummerSlam, you said, if I can't win the title, I got to retire. And I won the title from you, and you've been chasing me ever since. So let's say this, that WrestleMania 38, and I believe it's in Los Angeles next year.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be, Hollywood was supposed to be this year.
No, it's in Dallas next year. Then it's in Los Angeles. They changed it up.
Everything back a year.
No, they changed it up slightly. Mm. You know, when we're in Dallas, it'll be title versus career. So it'll be Edge's Universal title versus Daniel Bryan's career, and that could be where Edge wins again, and then that's when Daniel Bryan goes off into the sunset.
Which would be great. But I feel like at some point, it's probably not, I don't know if it's going to happen this WrestleMania or another WrestleMania, but The Rock and Roman Reigns will verse each other at some point. I still feel like that's going to happen.
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's going to be Los Angeles, and here's why.
You think so?
No, the reason it's going to be in Los Angeles is because of the market.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to be able to get more Hollywood celebrities to fill in that lower bowl for that match, because they like have The Rock, Dwayne Johnson coming out, and then there's people from DC, there's people from Marvel, there's people from like other movies, like the Jumanji cast, all these movies that he's done, and then you just see like all these cast people there. And it's going to be like,
yeah,
there you go.
I also have a theory we're going to see one last title run from The Rock.
No, we're not.
This is why.
How is he going to do it?
How's he going to do it?
He's going to come back just to do one match with Roman, and that's it.
Black Adam coming out before WrestleMania or after WrestleMania in Los Angeles?
It'll probably be out before.
WrestleMania Los Angeles will be what year? 23 or 22?
23, because 22 will be Dallas.
Then my theory is, my theory was he would have it, and he'd have it during the Black Adam promotional stuff, but he'd have to win it next year then.
That wouldn't work, because the last time they had him with the title and he was doing appearances to promote a movie, he never had the title with him to promote the movie.
Yeah, I always...
Because he wasn't allowed to have the title with him, not because of Vince, but because of the production companies.
But why that's the whole thing. It's like, why is that bad if he just has the title on him? Like, I never,
because they want the focus to be on the movie and not on the title.
Sure.
That's why. So the production companies that are putting out the films are like, when you do these appearances per contract, you're not allowed to have the WWE title with you.
All right.
So it'll be the exact same deal where it actually does no generation of interest whatsoever towards WrestleMania. It would actually be the complete opposite.
In that case, he'll probably only, I think he'll come back for one more and fight Roman Reigns, and then he'll probably go
to Roman. It's already a given. Rock is going to take on Roman. You don't even need a title. Like, you just keep the whole tribal chief thing going all the way up to that point, and then it's perfect, because what you can do is at certain points you can have like Roman Reigns destroy Rikishi. You can have Roman Reigns just do like other things to like the other members of the Anoa'i family and stuff like that. It would just
give me 1 second. Just pause it for 1 second. Anything you want to talk about NHL wise?
But anyways, NHL. We had a couple trades. Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac was traded to the Islanders by the New Jersey Devils. Also, we mourn the loss of Kyle Palmieri's beard due to Lou Lamoriello's archaic rules. Also, yesterday, Brett Connolly and Riley Stillman were traded to the Chicago Blackhawks by the Florida Panthers for Lucas Walmark and another player I can't remember off the top of my head. Obviously, this is all coming up.
Henrik Borgstrom.
Well, that was one of the guys they got the rights to. There was an actual player that can play for them now that I'm freaking
out. Stillman, right?
No, Stillman went to Chicago with Connolly. Hold on, let me pull it up real quick.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Wait, I'm confused. I thought that was everyone that was involved.
Hold on. I actually wrote it up in the daily. Blackhawks acquired Brett Connolly and defenseman Riley Stillman. Panthers acquired Lucas Carlson and Lucas Walmark. Blackhawks also acquired the rights to Henrik Borgstrom and a 7th round draft pick. And then the trade with the Devils and the Islanders would get Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac. Devils retaining 50% of both players' salaries. Both players are obviously unrestricted free agents at the end of the season. Devils would acquire forwards AJ Greer and Mason Jobs, both for which prospects. The Devils also acquired a 2021 first round pick and a conditional 2022 fourth round pick. However, the condition on the fourth round pick is that if the Islanders make the Stanley Cup final, the fourth will become a third round pick in either 2022 or 2023. The Islanders will have the option of which year the third round pick will be if they make the final this year. One would think that with the pandemic and what it did to all those, conditional picks, that they wouldn't be doing conditional picks anymore.
Every GM does these conditions.
But you would think that they would get rid of it after what happened with the pandemic from last season's trade deadline.
Where
Bettman had to rule on every single conditional pick that was in a trade. You know, like all these conditions had to be reworked because of the fact that, like, well, so-and-so player didn't play 10 games because they weren't able to, a pandemic hit. You know, it's like, so it just, you would think that after what happened there, they would just get rid of the conditional picks, but people don't learn. Trade deadline is on Monday, 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. Eastern. Maybe we'll do a podcast episode just for that, because why not?
Both our teams are probably going to be quiet for that. I don't see either of our teams doing anything.
If the Capitals do anything, they might do a depth thing. But the thing is that Michael Kempney just returned to the ice with the Capitals in a non-contact jersey. Lundqvist is meeting with doctors soon about what he can potentially do. And it sounds like he might be back for the Capitals, which, by the way, some stupid Boston Bruins fan was like, oh, it would be really cool to have Henrik Lundqvist backing up Tuukka Rask. And everyone's just like, he signed to a contract with the Capitals. He isn't a free agent.
Yeah, he's not a free agent. Yeah.
Yeah, just like, oh, yeah, it would be great to back up Rask.
If Henrik Lundqvist comes back, I will continue rooting for the Capitals.
I think, when you look at it from that perspective for the Capitals, it's like you're getting a goalie back in Lundqvist. You're potentially getting a defenseman back in Kempney. You don't really need to make any. I mean, I know the Capitals put Richard Ponick on waivers and he cleared. And so he's on the taxi squad now. That clears up some cap space. For whatever reason, they took Daniel Sprong out of the lineup for Daniel Carr. And that didn't result really well for the Caps last night against Boston. So I would expect Sprong back in the lineup at replay and Carr back as a healthy scratch or back on the taxi squad. So it's kind of like if you make, I mean, not only that, but the Caps are really tight to the cap too. So it's kind of like if you make a trade, you got to get somebody to eat some salary, but you're also going to have to eat some salary at the same time. So it's kind of like, do you stick with the depth that you have or do you, you know, I mean, the Cavs have a lot of depth too. That's the thing.
There's not like a true big fit. Like I know people, oh man, Taylor Hall, but like.
I wouldn't touch Taylor Hall for a 100-foot pole.
Yeah, it's the same.
I hope he legitimately goes to the Islanders because he's just a freaking black hole.
Look, the Islanders have gotten Kyle Palmieri, who, okay, he's not having a great year.
Palmieri's like a fourth line guy. Okay. Yeah, go on. Travis Zajac is now a fourth line guy.
Yeah. And then Taylor Hall, I mean, look, would he improve them? Sure. But he hasn't been playing well this year. He hasn't really played well in a few seasons now. And at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, let the Islanders go get everybody, but you're not.
The interesting thing about Hall is that the talk about him is that he could be one of those where he could get traded and then they can automatically start doing contract extension talks. Extension, with him. Yeah. So if you see him going somewhere, like if I'm Colorado, I'd stay away from him. If I'm, you know, sure, go to the Islanders. I don't care. You're not going to do anything for the Islanders either, so it's okay by me there. If anything, you'll just have the Islanders go first round and out. So, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Apparently, they're talking about Vancouver coming back potentially next week. I think that's a horrible idea. I agree with you.
I think
they need to shut down the Canucks for the rest of the season. Looking at the standings, there's no realistic way that they make the playoffs. Like the way the top four teams are playing right now, there's really no way that the Canucks are going to make the playoffs. So shut them down, let them recover from this thing. But not only that, but the other thing is that you don't know which players are really ill from this. You don't know which players being having fluids brought to their house so they can have fluids, you know, put into them. You know, and it's going to take some of these guys a while to recover. Like, even when they come back to play, it's going to take them a while to recover. Like, Kuznetsov was talking. Like, Evgeny Kuznetsov was saying when he came back because he had COVID, you know, he had trouble breathing. And it took him a while to get back into shape. It took him a few weeks. By the time you bring the Canucks back, and the fact that you have to give them a few weeks to kind of get their legs back underneath them and get truly back in the game shape, and some of them may take a couple months to get back in the game shape.
If we're being honest here with this whole COVID thing, look at Mika Zibanejad is another amazing example we have here, because Mika Zibanejad did not participate in any of training camp for the Rangers except for like the last day maybe. He had COVID and he didn't look like he could play hockey for about the first month of the season. And, you know, we're like, what happened to Mika Zibanejad? Is he okay? And then, you know, we don't really know all of the effects that this disease has on people. And, you know, a lot of the argument, a lot of, you know, talking heads make online or people online make is, oh, they're professional athletes. They train all their lives. They're fine. Yeah, but when you have, like Mike said, Kuznetsov, and there's other players that have had that said, like, you know, they were hoping they would wake up in the morning. That's where, you know, you got to treat this a lot more seriously than a lot of people are over a year into this whole thing. Yeah. We're seeing we don't know all of the long-term effects are going to happen. So I am in 100% agreement with Mike here. Shut the Canucks down. And if the league was really serious about this, you'd shut the whole league down for a few weeks and then push things back as in the playoffs.
But the problem is that you can't push things back even further than they already are because of the Olympics. Plus the agreement was with the Players Association is that the next season has to start in October, which means training camp has to start in September. So the cup has to be rewarded before the Olympics start. Yeah. You cannot push it any further, especially the fact that once the Olympics start, the NHL isn't going to be on any NBC channels. You ain't going to be on USA Network. You ain't going to be on CNBC. You ain't going to be on NBC Sports Network. You ain't going to be on NBC. That's the reality. And the ESPN contract doesn't kick in until October. That's reality. You have to work within the realm of reality. So you have to just shut down one team and just say, this team is done. What does it mean for the other team? Well, you just wipe those games off the schedule. You don't count it as a forfeit. You don't get any standing points for them. They're just wiped off the schedule completely.
And you have to go, and when the playoffs come around, you go by points percentage.
Yeah, well, they're already going to do that. But the thing is, though, is that you also look at it from the perspective for your division. It's like, well, you're just playing within your division right now, so it doesn't really matter that much.
That's true.
You went from seven teams to six teams, and I honestly don't see – let me just pull up the standings real quick just for a giggle. No, I don't want that. I want standings, not scores. So – let's see here. So here's the thing. Ottawa is not making the playoffs. Calgary isn't making the playoffs. Calgary 16-21-3. Ottawa is 13-24-4. Montreal is at the same number of games as Vancouver, which is 37 now. And Montreal is 17-11-9. Vancouver at 37 games played is 16-18-3 with 35 points. Vancouver, Calgary, and Ottawa are just not making the playoffs. It's that easy. It's
too late for them.
Yeah, it's just too late for them. Like, if the Canucks were, and here's the thing, when it comes to goal differential, the Canucks are a negative 20. Like, I want to throw this out there. Toronto's in first, Edmonton's in second, Winnipeg's in third, Montreal's in fourth, right?
Right.
Vancouver's fifth, Calgary sixth, Ottawa seventh. Here's the goal differentials. Plus 33, plus 19, plus 20, plus 15. That's your top four. That's your Toronto, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Montreal. They're all pluses in the goal differential. Plus 33, 19, 20, and 15, respectively. Vancouver's negative 20. Calgary's negative 21. Ottawa's negative 46. They're out of the playoff picture. There's no way Vancouver and Calgary are going to be able to pick up enough standing points to bump out Montreal, who's at 43 standing points. It's just not going to happen. Like, something major has to change for that to happen, and I just don't see it. Looking at the East, our division, you know, the Islanders are in first with 56 points. The Caps are in second with 54. Pittsburgh's in third with 52. Boston's in fourth with 48. Flyers are in fifth with 42. The Rangers are in sixth with 41. The Devil Dogs are seventh with 34. And the Sabres have only 9 wins, and they have 24 points. Well, we know Buffalo's out. We can already mathematically eliminate the Sabres. We can also mathematically eliminate the Devils. However, the Rangers technically can still be in it. They're 7 points behind Boston, but here's the kicker for the Rangers. Boston has 2 games in hand.
Yeah, that's the problem. But I don't think the Rangers are going to make it, but they have a shot. Yeah.
Like, the Flyers are 6 points behind the Bruins, but again, same scenario as the Rangers. Boston has 2 games in hand on the Flyers. So it really kind of depends on how things go. I mean, if a team can really threaten, I see the Rangers threatening more than the Flyers. So, I'm just putting that out there. So yeah, I mean, it depends. It really depends. And like I said, Rangers, I think the Rangers have a better chance of battling Boston, but it all depends on how things go. I mean,
we'll see.
That 2 games in hand really hurts them. Let's be honest. And also an interesting tidbit as well. Islanders, Caps, and Pittsburgh have all played 40 games. Boston has 3 games in hand on all 3 of them. So we could easily see Boston in first place at some point, depending on how.
Yeah, I don't think so, but it's.
I don't think so, but I'm just throwing it out there. 3 games in hand. They beat the Caps last night. You know, it's possible. So I think we rambled enough. I know you have things to do. I have my dinner sitting off to the side. So with that, Russ, where can people find you on the social media, bud?
Follow me at RussellHartman1 on Twitter. And I'm a part of 2 streams now, so I might as well make my own Twitch thing. That'll be coming soon, and I'll have more information coming on.
And then, of course, you can find me on the Twitters at @TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at Facebook.com/X75Productions, TXHCHockey.com for everything on the website, like our dailies, women's hockey coverage. Eventually, when the playoffs happen, we'll all have all of our writers will be all hands on deck with the playoff coverage. I know we haven't really been doing much game coverage. It's just simply because there's other things going on in life right now that we're all kind of dealing with. And then, of course, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75, which, of course, you probably are listening to this and watching us play NHL 21 as we speak. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, we will see you on the ice.